I'm delighted to say that the man joining me today to talk about all things on the pitch in terms of Manchester United and off the pitch in terms of Manchester United as well is a man who knows a lot about the Red Devils. They've been making waves in the press. He makes waves in the papers as well. And of course, on the pages of Bleacher Report too. I'm delighted to say that joining me here on World Football Daily, back on the airwaves, is of course Mr. Will Tidy, to tidy up all of these stories coming out from Old Trafford and from Manchester's football scene in general. Will, how are you, mate? It's a pleasure to have you back on the show.
Very good, thanks, Oliver. Always a pleasure to be on, mate. Hope you're well.
I'm very well indeed, as I'm sure the listeners are aware. I've got my voice back, so you're very lucky that you're able to hear me today, which is a good thing. And we're hearing a lot coming out of Manchester United as well, thanks to, of course, the release of Sir Alex Ferguson's new book. We all expected him to be dishing the dirt and, you know, really exposing everything that went on behind the scenes that we all missed since the release of his last book in 1999. It's not quite been what we expected, has it, Will?
Yeah, I mean, I think he has spoken quite harshly in the book about a few characters. I'm honestly not surprised by anything in the book, to be honest. I think a lot of these opinions we knew he had already. He's maybe said them in a little stronger terms than we've heard before. But this is a manager who never really cared about being liked by his players or other players. He cared about winning trophies and winning respect. And I think whatever he says in the book, he's still got the respect of everybody. And obviously no one can take the trophies away.
Are you surprised about what he hasn't said, though? Because there's been very much, obviously still a very prominent member at Manchester United, but there's not been much of what we were hoping would be dishing the dirt on the club. It's all been about people that aren't really associated with Manchester United anymore.
Yeah, you've got to be careful with that. I mean, Ferguson is as big as he could be. He has a stand named in his honour. There's a statue outside of Old Trafford made of bronze. He is a living United legend, but you can still harm a club even from that position if you say certain things. He knows that continued United success is in his interest. The interest of his legacy is in the interests of he fell in love with Manchester United and the romantic history that was attached to it, and that brought him to the club. And I don't think he's in the business now, especially in the employment as he is of the Glazers, effectively still taking healthy money from them as a director at United. And also, that would undermine David Moyes further. I think it's a shame the book came out when it did, actually. That's my one criticism. I think the timing is poor. I think it's undermined David Moyes at an early stage in what was always going to be a difficult succession. So I think he was wary enough to say, I'm not going to go against the club. And I'm sure it's a back and forth. Paul Hayward, who wrote the book with him, was probably pushing him as hard as he could to go at the Glazers, to go at other figures. And they just probably came to a middle ground where they agreed they'd go at certain things and not at others. And United was off bounds, I would think.
And extremely off bounds as well. The misunderstanding between Ferguson and John Magnier, I think a lot of people were expecting that, and what happened with, of course, the horse, the Rock of Gibraltar. Expecting more from that, it was only dedicated a couple of paragraphs. Do you think we're likely to ever know what went on between these two in this misunderstanding?
No, I don't, because I think John Magnier is a incredibly wealthy and influential and powerful man who really had the upper hand in that situation, I think, and really had almost Ferguson's career in his hands at one point there with the United board and what was going on. And I just think once you come to a settlement legally like that, the way that things are discussed, and you see this in other spheres of life as well, there's a line written under it. And what's said is, you know, this just isn't talked about anymore. And whatever your grievances were before Ferguson, the money's been paid to Ferguson now, and that money is basically hush money that he's not going to talk about it again. He won't talk about that again. He's a stubborn man. And he knows legally he's not supposed to, and Magna the same situation. So I don't expect to hear any more about that.
Before we get into last night's game, United game, of course, the win against Sociedad, there was a response after the game. We obviously heard Roy Keane on Tuesday night talking on English television about Sir Alex Ferguson, and Wayne Rooney had his piece as well yesterday after the game. Very much made it sound like that Ferguson had kind of put his twist on the Rooney departure story, and now it was all clear that Rooney never officially handed in this written transfer request. And not only that, but Rooney saying that now Moyes was at the club, it seemed very much more, he seemed more settled. Do you think Rooney is actually enjoying playing under Moyes more than he did Ferguson over the last couple of years?
Well, I think there's a couple of factors at play here. Firstly, Robin van Persie was remarkable last season in his first season with United. And I do think what happened is Wayne Rooney was pushed a little bit to the side in terms of his status at the club. I don't think he was the top dog. Robin van Persie was very much the focal point. He was the natural choice to lead the line if United were playing with one striker. And that then opened up a selection dilemma for Ferguson. You can't drop van Persie. Your option is to play Rooney deeper. He needed an extra midfielder. And I think what Rooney was saying was, hang on a second, you know, if there's one spot here, why don't I take it? You know, I should be the number one player here. And I think that's where the clash comes of egos and of importance. And Ferguson's stubbornness and being able to say to any player, no matter whatever their stature, no, you know, you're not fit enough when you come back at the start of the season. You don't play. You're on the bench. You know, you're not my best option to lead the line. You don't play leading the line. And I think that's just a clash that hasn't happened under David Moyes, because Robin van Persie has a few issues with injuries. I think Rooney has been a much, much sharper player than he was at the start of last season. So I don't think Moyes has to deal with that issue yet. I think what would be interesting is if he brought in another striker, or if one of his other strikers started to really prolifically score goals. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, but then we might see this issue come up again.
We do, obviously, as well. You mentioned that it kind of undermined David Moyes, the launch of this book. And Moyes has been very kind of diplomatic about the whole thing. Do you get the sense that Moyes is trying to be that same managerial style like Sir Alex Ferguson, not caring what other people say? Do you think he has that hard kind of skin to be able to play that managerial role? And do you think if he does, that was why Ferguson recommended that Moyes comes in? Because he's made it very clear that it's about the club, not about the players, in his new book, Fergie.
Yeah, I think what happens there is Ferguson's identified the character that he wants to take over from United, because it's one that he sees elements of his own personality in, and he wants that culture to continue. And I think the message to David Moyes right from the start would have been, this is your bubble that you work in. This is Manchester United. Everything that comes from the media in the first few months of your job, you've just got to shut it out. It's not relevant to your long-term task at United. You can look back at Ferguson's career and know that he had to do the same thing. That Moyes will feel like he's doing work behind the scenes that's going to eventually get him to where he gets to. And I wonder if there's almost a conceded thought process behind the scenes at United that, okay, top four finish, we don't win anything else, but, you know, that's part of the regrouping process. And we just get behind David Moyes. And for Moyes, it's very important that he projects himself as someone who's constantly in control, who's not being overly wound up by anything that's going on in the media. That's important, because I think frustration can come in pretty quickly there. But it's about showing a calm front and just showing that he's got things under control, because otherwise the players start to pick up on that, I think.
I'm sure David Moyes wouldn't have liked the fact that the book and all this publicity has come a day before a big clash against Real Sociedad. They were able to get 3 points last night at Old Trafford. But, Will, did you think it was as smooth sailing as some people thought? I've spoken to people that said they were very much on edge last night during the United game. Others have said that they felt United put in a good performance and never really looked too much in doubt for that. What did you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, it reminded me of actually a lot of the Champions League group games they've had over the last two or three seasons, I think. They, at Old Trafford in particular, they haven't really put teams away in the manner that we used to see them do so. And some of that's a confidence thing. Some of that maybe is a luck thing. I mean, they had some close calls last night. They could have won the game 3 or 4-0. Sociedad had a couple of chances. I do think you feel a bit nervous with United right now, because you get a sense they're not sure of themselves, and that every game is you know, them always sort of desperately just trying to right the ship a little bit, to get it moving in the right direction. So I think the victory was all important. I still don't think we're seeing United playing very well, although Wayne Rooney is in brilliant form right now and was very impressive last night. And finally, we saw Shinji Kagawa play in the number 10 role, which is, you know, hopefully where he will play moving forward.
What have you made of Kagawa this season? I did want to ask you about getting another start finally. His appearances have been pretty sporadic this season. Do you think Kagawa is good enough to be demanding a place in that side on a regular basis?
He's one of those players that falls into a difficult area for a manager in transition, because he is a player who needs continuity. And I think we see it with these types of players who play in behind a striker. I think Juan Mata is a classic example. David Silva is another one. These are players who really, it's about playing games, really. And I know it's an old cliche, but it's about getting into the rhythm of playing and getting that touch back and that feel for the game. And we started to see it towards the end of the game from Kagawa last night when he moved into number 10. He started to pick up the ball just as we used to see him play for Dortmund. And he'd pick up the ball and instinctively find a pass, find an angle that other players don't find. I would be tempted. I know there's a lot of talk about Januzaj as a youngster that's come through. My preference right now would be to see him just say, okay, Kagawa plays number 10 and he starts the next 3-4 games and plays them out. And let's just see if we can get him into some form and let's just see if he's the player that we thought he was.
Would that be then you saying put Rooney up front on his own and then you find somebody else to play on that left flank role? Because last night, in at least the formation lineup, Kagawa, it was playing slightly wider and obviously creeping inside and coming inside to take in that almost that number 10 role last night. Well, I mean, there is, especially once Van Persie gets fit, you've got Hernandez in there who wants game time. You've got Danny Welbeck, Rooney, Kagawa all want to play down the centre of the pitch. It's difficult to find options. And then the left and right flanks are where United are struggling this year at the moment.
Yeah, I think right now, if Van Persie's not fit for the next game, The attacking option that I would pick is I would play Rooney as the striker. I would play Kagawa in behind Rooney. I would probably play Valencia on the right-hand side because I do feel there's some signs from him that we're seeing that athleticism back. I think still some of his decision-making was a little off last night, not as considered as you'd want. And then I would probably, you know, again, on a fitness issue, my option would probably be Danny Welbeck to play that left-sided role. And I think that gives you a strong four. And then obviously you've got problems when Van Persie comes back selection-wise, but you've got a good problem. And you have to make a decision with Kagawa. You say, what is he? Is he the number 10? Then if the number 10 spot's taken by Rooney, then he sits on the bench. You know, you don't necessarily have to say, well, let's play him as the left-sided player just because we want to put him in the team.
Well, let's hope that that doesn't discourage Kagawa from maybe looking elsewhere and that he stays at Manchester United and at the Premier League, at least for us fans of English football, because he's a wonderful player to watch. Just finally, Will, the back to the centre-back pairing of Evans and Jones. Now, this is a centre-back pairing that for the last 2 years we've been hearing is the pairing that will take over from Vidic and Ferdinand. Ferdinand has started to trail off quite impressively this season. We've really seen his form and his fitness kind of dying out slightly. Do you think it's time for Moyes to just make a bold leap and keep Evans and Jones in as this back two for a period of time to get them understanding and working together?
Oh, it's such a difficult one. I think you really have to be on the training ground, I think, to see what you're getting from Nemanja Vidic and from Rio Ferdinand. And I don't know. I still feel like if United were in a big European knockout tie, I'm gonna go to those trusted two right now. I just feel like maybe one more season. I know what we're saying about the succession. I don't know if I've seen enough. I think we've had some really good games from Johnny Evans. I think Phil Jones maybe is making some quiet progress. He's still not the next Brian Robson as we would build he would be. You know, and that's going to take time. I think there's still another season in Ferdinand. I think people are very quick to criticise him. But as Jose Mourinho has said recently, you know, centre-backs in the modern game, you don't need that much pace if you can still judge the game and you know where to be. I think Ferdinand, for all the criticism he takes, he's still a quality central defender. I mean, he knows what he's doing. He's got a lot of experience. I'm still going to Ferdinand and Vidic, I think, but they need to improve and they need to get some consistency going.
Sticking by the elder statesman, Will. It's not progress, I'm not saying that. Just quickly, actually, before we move to City, very briefly as well. Phil Jones, where do you prefer him then? As that holding midfielder or as the centre-back? Ferguson said he was going to be one of the best players of all time at Manchester United, but we've not seen him hold down a position at either place yet.
Yeah, I never saw that. I'm not sure where Ferguson was looking there. I think Jones has got great athleticism. He's good defensively. He's very strong. But technically, I don't see him being in that caliber. People talked about, you know, Duncan Edwards and Brian Robson. These were players who were technically extremely strong. I mean, the first touch, the ability to go past the player, the ability to finish with both feet and to head home. I don't see that in Jones. I don't know whether it's going to come over time. What I see is someone who can be a very good defensive player for United. I'm not sure he's good enough on the deck to be a defensive midfielder in the modern game, because I think you need passing range. I'm not sure he has. I might be proved wrong. I would think right now he's probably a centre-back or a makeshift right-back.
It'd be very interesting. I don't think we've seen Phil Jones too often at right-back, but another place that that he can play. Let's move to the noisy neighbours, if you will, of Manchester United. Manchester City in the early game yesterday in Moscow, getting a 2-1 win, coming up back from behind, would have been a fairy tale story for Manchester United if Zoran Tosic's goal had been the only goal of the game. But Sergio Aguero pulling City out of a slight bubble. Even before the game, what did you make of the fact that they were spray painting the pitch green? I mean, a disaster for UEFA all round this game, before and after as well, wasn't it, Will?
Oh, yeah. I mean, in a way, yes. But I mean, don't we like, in a sense, this sort of the texture of European football? I mean, I think we come to a point now where almost every pitch is some immaculate carpet. Every stadium is some immaculate shining dome. And I think it's nice for the inner Champions League to have the occasional mix where we go play on an old park pitch, you know, and we, I don't see a problem with that. City didn't seem to have that much trouble playing on it last night. So I think move on, you know, the players are too spoiled for pitches these days. I like to see these old style pitches occasionally.
It was definitely a lot more difficult for Manchester City last night. A person that didn't seem to have too many problems with it was David Silva, who it's not the same rip-roaring start that we saw in their title-winning season, but we are seeing, after a sloppy year, Will, a much more improved and confident David Silva so far this season.
Yeah, I love David Silva. I think he's just a lovely player to watch. And almost, you know, so similar to Juan Mata, obviously with the left-footed tendency and the stature, but he's more graceful than Mata for me sometimes, the way he glides around the pitch. Mm. I think the player who's really impressed me for City this season is Negredo, because I know Aguero's scoring goals and he looks as sharp as anything, but Negredo is such an intelligent player. I mean, his work off the ball and the way he attracts players to him, he's so good in the air and he's such a foil for Aguero. That is the pairing to me in the Premier League. I mean, Aguero and Negredo, I mean, is there a better strike pair in Europe right now on their day? I'm not sure there is.
It's they are banging in the goals at the moment. Are you surprised how quickly Negredo's taken to Premier League football and Manchester City in general? Or did he always have this in his locker, do you think?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it seems to me like the transition from Spanish players coming into the Premier League is generally fairly smooth, based on, you know, strikers. You've seen Torres, obviously, and Michu at Swansea, and then we have Mata, and I mean, the list goes on. Obviously, Silva was one you mentioned there, of Spanish players coming in an attacking sense. I think what happens is, you know, Michu has talked about this before, you actually find you've got more space in the final third than you do in the Spanish game. And it allows you to thrive a bit. Negredo is a beast of an athlete. I mean, he's a big guy. He's very strong. And I think you know, one of the signings really of the summer, based on what I've seen so far.
And just finally, City seem to have cracked the European case as well. Aside from that Munich game, this is a City side now that we're not seeing stumbling through Europe. Is that down to Pellegrini or is that down to City's experience?
Oh, well, you know, I think hold back just a second here, because I still felt defensively all over the shop yesterday, and they were lucky they didn't concede more goals. So I do think there's more work to do. And I think if they'd have been away, I mean, they got absolutely roasted by Bayern Munich. Let's not forget that. So there's still some naivety in defence. And, you know, with some of the younger defenders that are in there, great potential, obviously, Nastasic is a player who's going to be a really, really great player. So I still worry about them defensively. And you know, let's see what happens when they go to Bayern.
It will be a very tough test indeed. And there's no stopping Bayern Munich at the moment. There's no stopping World Football Daily. But Will, we have to let you go today. Thank you so much. We've taken up plenty of your time, mate. But we always enjoy having a good long chat with you about all things English football, mate.
Thanks, Ollie. Always a pleasure, mate. Good luck to the show.
Cheers, mate. Will Tidy there joining us here from Bleacher Report to talk all things Champions League football from last night. Manchester City and Manchester United in action. Will saying that he felt Nastasic is going to become a great, great player. does look like he could become a great, great player, not showing it right now. City, though, at least coming back from behind to win 2-1. They were a little unlucky.